Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yes, welcome in. It's live from Fat Daddy's in Mansfield today, the G-Bag Nation. We are off and running here on a football Friday, and we invite you to come join us, have Tolo back window decals, and we're actually giving away Cowboys gear every hour. This is outstanding. The promo table over there is Steve. Steven's rocking it, and you know, you just swing on by, talk to him.
And no, we won't pay you to take the cowboy gear.
No.
It's still considered something that is of value.
I mean, I heard a guy earlier with Sean and RJ say that he was going to totally put all of his Cowboys gear away until next season or something like that, until the coaching staff gets fired. And I understand there's emotional moments like that, but
I'll take your free stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm with you in giving up hope for the Cowboys this year, but I'll happily take free clothing.
Yes, hope for the Cowboys is not very rampant across North Texas. How'd you guys do last night? Did you guys hang in there and stay focused on the whole four quarters?
I got lucky. I hosted with Kevin Hagelin an event for NAMI North Texas, a nonprofit for mental illness. It ended at about 8:30. My goal was to avoid knowing what went on because I recorded the game. And so I get home, I hit play. Cowboys go up 7-0, and I was like, yep,
all right,
pay me my money.
Fast forward through these commercial breaks.
It got to 10-7 Bears, and my TV said error.
Oh, no.
And popped forward to real time. And I was like, oh, my God, this is not going to go well.
Uh-uh.
And I still went back and watched from where I was to get to the end. But, oh, my God.
I was lightly engaged in the game. It was on television, but I was kind of doing things around the house. And then I fell asleep with 5 minutes to go, and I woke up with 8 seconds. And it was a three-point game. But when I fell asleep, it was 31-14.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm out. Like, a do whatever you want, Cowboys. Play those three more games. Play a playoff game. I'm not engaging with this organization for the rest of the 2019 season.
I was in pretty good in the first half. I felt that 7-7 things had gone horribly wrong, though, because the Bears marched, and then they got the ball back at midfield and just continued on their march. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, somehow this defense is just atrocious.
Well, the Cowboys broke rule number one of Jeff's football rules. They listened to Mike, and they took the ball, and they scored, and they felt good about themselves.
I called it because I know who's running this organization. Smart football people, and they were going to go back to like, well, we went 13-3 when I took the ball every time, didn't we? So they went back to it.
So I don't know if everybody remembers the exact circumstances, but you score, they score. You have a 7-7 game. They end up what? They had a field goal, so it was 10-7 Bears, and the Cowboys try a field goal. If you make it, then ideally they would be backed up. You could go to half 10-10. No problem, right? It could be 10-10.
Could be.
But your kicker, who's not good enough to play in the NFL, that you refuse to do anything about, misses the field goal. They have great field position. They score. So instead of 10-10, it's 17-7. They get the ball. It's 24-7. Ball game.
Yeah.
Because of what can happen at halftime for the team that defers. Stop taking the ball! And that was the worst defensive outing. I have to do an apology to everybody right now about one player. Because I actually think he's had a pretty solid year. But Xavier Woods was terrible last night.
Yeah.
Terrible. Sean Lee was terrible.
I know.
The defensive tackles were terrible.
Still not the worst defensive player on the field, though. You haven't got to him yet.
You think Jalen was the worst?
I do, yeah.
Okay. Well, it was clear that Matt Nagy and his staff.
There's a lot of bad.
And this is one of the things. There's a lot. And it's going to go to the top. The guy I blame for this, especially today, is Jerry Jones, because he's keeping the coach for literally no reason. He's doing it for whatever his reason is about protecting his coaching search. But you can do your coaching search.
That's such a non-reason.
Right. It's not a real reason. It's a terrible reason. Well, I won't say it's not real, because I guess it's real to him. But it's a terrible reason. But Matt Nagy and his staff, they came into this game. And you know what they did? They said, okay, here's the Dallas Cowboys. Where are their weaknesses? Let's go.
Yeah.
And the weakness is the middle triangle. Up the middle is weak. David Montgomery is one of the toughest runners in football. Run him over. Their linebackers can't cover. Tight ends and running backs, get ready to catch the ball. Like, it was a game-specific plan that was very good from the Bears to go against the Cowboys. What did the Cowboys do that was Bears-specific to try to expose something?
I've been told by former players that's not Jason Garrett's philosophy.
Richard and Rod Marinelli's either, because Troy talked about it throughout the game.
Yeah,
show you what they're going to do, and they made it easy on a young quarterback to look up before the play and go, that's what they're in. When I snap the ball, it's still what they're in. You made it easy for me. Thanks. You made Mitch Trubisky look like a Hall of Famer.
I'm just surprised it took NFL teams so long to identify the massive weakness in the middle of the Cowboys' defense. And I do think it's been building for 12 months, and some teams see it more than others. But, you know, unfortunately, as much as they wanted the Jalen Smith story to be true, and it looked like at times over, you know, the 17 and 18 season that maybe it was actually coming true, it's just not. And now teams know exactly how to attack it, and it is a massive liability when you combine it with your defensive tackles. And now I think if they want to keep Jalen, like, I think the smart thing to do would just be to release him post June 1 and split up the dead money now and just move on. But if you do want to keep him, you have to get expert defensive tackles. They're going to at least allow him to be clean and run. That's the only way to salvage it.
It was really, really – it said a whole lot about – and we've talked about this, and I know there's people that have tried to deny it, but, like, Jalen Smith in coverage is a big-time problem, right?
Yeah.
The Bears on three consecutive plays – and credit to Jalen, because two of them were incomplete. One was a drop, and one I think he might have got a hand on. But the Bears literally said on three consecutive plays in the red zone, run straight down the field at Jalen, and we'll throw it up. Like, not even making him cover a route, just we don't think he can cover enough that if you run to him and we throw it to you, you can catch it. That was their plan. Because if we run a route, they might be in zone and someone else might be able to make a play. We want you and him on three straight plays.
Wow.
And the Cowboys let those matchups happen.
Wow.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
Okay, so, you know, it does come down to now, I think so much of it is around the coaching staff, and you mentioned Jerry Jones and his role in it. I mean, I do think it's one of the worst move of Jerry Jones' career to let this thing play out over the last couple of weeks as it was. You know, I thought
that's
maybe,
saying something, because he's done a lot of bad over 24 years.
Yeah, I know. Maybe I should just safely say it's in the top 10.
Yeah,
but I do think it is, because you have a chance with this much talent that if you can just shake up the leadership dynamics with a new coach, or just take this guy out, and all the excuses like, you know, oh no, the one last night on TV was nobody has proven that they deserve a chance to be the interim. Well, you know what? Very few interims have. Freddie Kitchens didn't.
Yeah,
he was
not,
just the guy that's
it's
most.
It's very rare you have a team underachieving tremendously, and you're like, boy, but those assistant coaches are doing great.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's doing bad. So it's not like right now the Carolina Panthers, and I know that they're probably looking outside the organization, just like the Cowboys sound like they're going to, too, for their next head coaches. It's not like they fired Ron Rivera and said, well, it's because we have three awesome candidates in-house that are just doing an unbelievable job of assistant coaching while our head coach is the one messing everything
up. Do you know who Carolina's interim is?
No.
No.
Me neither.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Like, even if you had an interim who, like, here's the worst part about this to me, is that it would seem like if what we think about Jerry is true, that he just wants a clean coaching search, and I know that it's already started, that he is looking to try to figure out who the next coach is going to be. But if you just want it to be clean, and it's not clean if someone else had success, what you're telling me is that you're willing to throw away a season where you're still likely to go to the postseason. You're willing to completely throw away whatever chance it is, 0.1% of going to the Super Bowl and winning it. You're willing to throw away whatever chance there is that we could find a spark and have a chance when your division is giving you that chance, whether you've earned it or not. But it's there. It exists.
But you don't want to get
and
that.
And you won't
because
spark because it might give you an extra candidate to interview.
Might be an awkward conversation with a guy you kind of like.
Yeah, and a couple.
You know, like,
and
sorry, Chris, we can't keep you.
Yeah, and some fans might go, well, I can't believe you didn't hire Chris Richard. Whatever. Yeah. I'm hiring the best head coach I can find for this organization. And the other here's the sad part is that ultimately, it doesn't matter who they hire. That's the most depressing part.
Yeah.
Unless whoever they hire, like, they have to fire everyone.
Yeah.
That's the way a team does this. If you fire the coach, you fire
the
coaching staff.
This
team doesn't.
It's called managing up, and you need the guy who's perfect at making Jerry's ideas his ideas. You know, you got to get a head coach in here that is Jason Garrett in the way that he interacts publicly, but behind closed doors, he is a genius and he has a way of getting Jerry Jones to fall in line. We know Jason Garrett has part of those skills because he goes in and convinces Jerry of whatever he wants to. We just need that guy to be more modern and also have the ability to explain to Jerry without insulting his ego that I do need control of who's on this roster.
I hear you. My most fun part thing about last night's game was just listening to Troy Aikman crush the Cowboys. That was what kept me engaged. People were tweeting me. I looked at halftime. They were like, you're turning it off. You said 13-6 and it's 17-7. And I responded to one person and I just said, I'll tell you what, I'm loving this Troy Aikman crushing the organization.
It was the most entertaining thing about the game.
That I'm locked in on my eyes watching the game, but while I'm folding clothes and everything, I was like, I have to keep listening to Troy crush this organization because I know they're not coming back. I just need to hear Troy keep crushing this.
Yeah, and we're going to get some of Troy's quotes, maybe some audio here coming up in Cowboys Twitter at 2:20. Stephen Jones is going to join us at 3 o'clock. We have audio of Jerry Jones. If you're wondering, you know, why maybe he was a little bit bent out of shape, it's kind of complicated. I think the reason might be kind of technical. There was just some issues getting him on the air and hearing him when, you know, he was trying to get punched up. We have some weird things going on with our phone system some days, and I think it was malfunctioning, and Jerry couldn't get on. So when he said, y'all need to get your act together or whatever, it was just about the technical difficulties that he knows very well about as the CEO of the NFL Network. It happens from time to time.
Right.
And it was bad timing that it had to happen this morning. But, you know, it's very clear to me with this team exactly what happened. It's cracking under pressure. And when they first started to crack during the first three-game losing streak, the coaches, the leadership told them, guys, don't listen to the noise from the outside. Don't get too bent out of shape. We just need to focus on doing our job. And they bought that. Well, now
it's one game.
And then they kind of righted the ship and they were like, you know, hey, we're back to 6-4 and all this. And, you know, they're like, hey, the coaches were right. We just needed to not panic. And now, you know, they lose two in a row and now they're thinking, okay, we're going into December. Now, guys, it's time to flip the switch. Now let's really go after it. And when you decide that as a team, you don't have to worry about it and the outsiders are making up stuff about you, and then you say, oh, well, now we do got to flip the switch. When you go to flip it and it short circuits, it creates a panic. And that panic creates a lack of confidence. And the reason I know what this is because it happens in sports all the time. And the first element is pressure, right?
Yeah.
It's holy cow, can you believe how good this team is? How good are we going to be? And the guys buy in and they believe it's their destiny. And then when it's like, wait, is that not our destiny? We got to flip the switch when it doesn't work, especially against a bad team. Holy cow, the floor falls out right up from underneath them as far as confidence
goes. You know what's funny is what happens to those teams usually is they make a championship game and either they win it or lose it. And then they have trouble, like the Philadelphia Eagles last year, engaging in the season because they're just like, man, we just want to get back to the do or die game. So we can try to win that do or die game. Here's the crazy thing about under Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys ever since Jimmy Johnson left is they're able to get bored by just making the playoffs. They're like, oh, we don't care about the regular season the next year. So then they have to ultimately fail the next year to then try to refocus and make the playoffs the next year. It's the weirdest thing because I can speak to it in baseball because I had buddies that I was in the Phillies organization for a while and played with guys like Shane Victorino and Ryan Howard and Jimmy Rollins, and they won a World Series and went to a World Series. And then they'd always start off the first half of the season almost for 2 or 3 years in a row, and they'd play about 500 baseball through 100 games. After you asked me this yesterday, I was like, oh, the Phillies! They'd always do this. You're like, yeah, they'd be at 53-53, and they'd be around there. And then they would flip the switch because it was like, okay, hey, we're getting close to the playoffs. We got to start playing our best baseball. And then they would for like the last 50 games and make the playoffs again. Some teams can do it if they have
a great leader.
Yeah, yep. but that came to mind. Now, the problem is they were bored with the regular season because they were making the World Series. if the Cowboys would have made the freaking Super Bowl last year, I'd say, man, they're having trouble because of all the fame and fortune they got like the Philadelphia Eagles did after 17. They're having trouble engaging in the next year. Yeah. Last year, they barely beat the Seahawks in the playoffs and then got hammered by the Rams, and they were not at all like, hey, we might want to try the next year.
Yeah, and I don't think firing the coach will surely fix it. I just know that it's the only card left for them to play.
I'm
yeah,
with you.
Yeah, you know, so what is it, a 20% chance?
I was with you
chance?
Last week. That's what I wanted last week after the Thanksgiving Day game, but I thought, well, it's tough because the Jones family have a very big Thanksgiving holiday that they have to prepare for the weekend, and so it's just not the right time. But now we're here today, and they have an extra time to maybe do it and give whoever it is, Chris Richard, Marinelli, John Kitna, me, Jeff, it doesn't matter, just somebody. They have
the Panthers, by the way, is a guy named Perry Fuel.
Okay.
You think they're like, oh, yeah, we had to get it to Perry Fuel. No, it doesn't matter.
If he wins three out of the next four games, we're locked into him for 5 years.
No, it doesn't matter who your interim
so,
coach is.
Yeah, it's a frustrating time as a Cowboy fan, and I know people want to hear me scream and yell, and I probably will. I will probably lose it today.
Oh, I guarantee it.
Right now, I'm just to the point where I'm like, I don't care. Yeah. Get the season over with. Relegate the Cowboys to some soccer league. I don't care.
Ooh, could they win the XFL?
Get rid of them. Get rid of the Cowboys so we can engage on teams that actually try in our Metroplex.
Okay, we are live at Fat Daddy's here in Mansfield where they just delivered Mike some fried comfort food, fried pickles it looks
like.
Looks outstanding. Yeah. Okay, and when we come back, we will have G-Bag of the Day coming up at 2:30, but let's take a look at Cowboys Twitter. Top tweets going viral, and the guy who Jane Slater reports might already be the top candidate to be head coach. It's next in the nation. G-Bag Nation, we are live at Fat Daddy's in Mansfield today. Let's take a look at Cowboys Twitter. What did Jane Slater report about the head coaching situation? That is very interesting indeed. We'll get Troy Aikman's criticisms. He blew up Cowboys Twitter again last night. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you're hurt in an accident, it's not your fault. Call the office of Frankel and Frankel 214-333-3333 or online there at frankelfirm.com. And Fat Daddy's in Mansfield today. Swing by. We're giving away Cowboys gear every hour. You got shirts, you got hats, you got Tolo back window decals, and more. But, former broadcast colleague Jane Slater, now with the NFL Network, dominating. And she's having a big week. Did you see her tweet about her ex-boyfriend situation in the Fitbit?
Yeah, that was tough.
Man, that has made her, like, even more famous than she already was, and you can check that out. But right here, we're talking about her tweet about the head coach situation. Jerry Jones says Jason Garrett will remain the coach, but Jane says, I can confirm a very real interest in Urban Meyer. In fact, I'm told Staben spoke with him recently. Lincoln Riley remains a strong candidate and file this name as a possibility as well. Clemson OC Tony Elliott, per sources. So there's a new one. And, you know, Lincoln Riley's in there as well. I'm sure there's got to be quite a few coaches that are going to make the way through. I mean, you do have that Fritz Pollard rule and all that. You're going to have to be interviewing quite a few guys. But if it is Urban Meyer, do you think he's the kind of guy that could come in and with essentially a set roster do something more significant with it? Because that's what you need, right? We're not looking to do a rebuild at all. If coach says we're looking at rebuild, you're gone. You're just going to help yourself right out of Jerry's office right now.
The reason I don't really get the Urban Meyer thing. And the reason I don't get it is because I think it's two different worlds. I think college football and NFL football are two totally different worlds, because in college football, you can control having more talent than the other team by recruiting them and coaching at a certain school. And you can control your roster really effectively because they have zero money.
Yeah.
So they're going to do what, right, they're going to do what they're told. They're kind of stuck there. So you are the ultimate authority. Like, so I don't know.
He did have
success at Bowling Green and then at Utah. So he did take teams that shouldn't have been able to compete and made them compete before he played at the schools or before he coached where everybody remembers him. But I just don't know. If it's a college coach who you tell me you're hiring because you then turn on tape and go, because of that offense, I want that offense. I go, oh, okay. But if you say I'm hiring him because he was a good college head coach, I say, man, I don't know how that translates.
Well, I'm going to transition to Troy Aikman here because I'm with Troy today. I don't think there's a human being on the face of the earth that can make the Dallas Cowboys a great football team and a championship football team as long as Jerry's the owner of it.
Yeah.
So I name the person. I'll tell you, ultimately, no, because Jerry will screw it up because that's the only way he knows how to do it.
Okay, so I'm kind of I'm agreeing with quite a bit of that. Like the dysfunction in the organization is pretty significant. But I think if there is an ideal situation, it's that you have a championship ready roster and a coach comes in who's a tactical and motivational genius. And before he gets so fed up with all the nonsense, you win one, right? So Urban Meyer in year one, okay, before he's got to go through all of that. But I don't know if he's got enough of that Belichick in him or a Harbaugh in him where he's going to look at the film and troubleshoot everything, right? That's what I need to know about Urban Meyer, because if all of his football success is attributed to his ability as a salesman and knows how to leverage control, then I don't think that flies, you know, for several reasons in the NFL in general and the Cowboys specifically.
I hope Urban Meyer really likes Chris Richard because he's your defensive coordinator, and I really hope he likes Kellen Moore because he's going to be the offensive coordinator because we're the number one offense in the NFL. And so that's the reason, I think I was thinking about this during the break. That's the other reason he won't fire Jason Garrett. He wants to keep Chris Richard as the defensive coach. And if he hires him as the head coach, he can't bring him back as the defensive coordinator the new head coach. I think a lot of people would see that as, you got to be kidding me. If I ended up going 2-1 in these last three games, let's just say I beat Philadelphia and beat Washington, and you want me to now go back and go under somebody else?
Yeah.
So, not if you want to. If somebody wants you as a head coach, no. But you don't want employment.
Well,
I don't know if
Jerry's doing
coach.
It. Right. Jerry's doing it because he wants to keep these assistant coaches as the assistant coaches, because he'll choose the head coach, then he'll choose the head coach's assistant.
Then you give it to Kitna. Just give it to Kitna. Say, hey, I believe Kitna's a good leader, and he's just going to lead us for a few weeks, and then we're going to figure out our head coach.
Kitna's exactly what they need right now. Like, I guess Kitna's telling people that he doesn't want that kind of attention or whatever on him, but I think that's just his way of being nice. How could you not want at least a shot at doing it for three games, you know, if you're Kitna? But if he doesn't, I would say fine. But I think John Kitna's personality and the freshness of it and his confidence and, you know, the way that he relates to people is exactly what this thing needs to just relieve some of the pressure of the expectation to the disappointment right now. It is still doable. We'll get back into Cowboys Twitter a little bit later on, okay? Because it is time now, live from Fat Daddy's in Mansfield, for the G-Bag of the Day. The best audio from the world of sports, pop culture, talk radio, and or the internet. We play them all. Vote on which one we like the best. And that is the G-Bag of the Day. Lucius Alexander back in the Pimp Cup at Master Control. I bet you're having an awesome Friday, aren't you?
I'm charged, man. I'm feeling great. I'm zooming, boogieing.
Sweet, sweet. And who is our champion?
It's the playmaker, Michael Irvin.
Yeah, two-time champ, right?
This one right here is going to hit different a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah.
As a matter of fact, Ray Lewis and I was talking about it yesterday in New York as we were shooting inside the NFL. Ray came to me, you know, because Ray and I, you know, as I was raising him when he was a young kid, Ray said, he's Playmaker. I can't believe Michael Bennett was the one that says him. I said, I know. I said, thank God he did, but I know, because if I was in that locker room and Michael Bennett, I would say, sit your ass down. Well, I got this. Don't you say a word. I mean, I appreciate you about to say something. I appreciate that. But I got this, and the way we broke it down was like this. We have dogs on our team. We have dogs. The Cowboys have dogs. They got players that'll fight. But our dogs only bite when you come in their house. We need dogs that'll bite when you come near the neighborhood. When you come near the neighborhood, I want you to be scared. Like, oh, somebody in the neighborhood. Start picking up rocks and sticks. Because you don't know where the dog is. That's what we need. We need dogs that bite people in the neighborhood, not just in the house.
No doubt about it, Michael Irvin. There was no kind of dogs on defense last night.
No dogs sighted in Chicago for the Cowboys. They can't even tackle.
I wonder what Michael would do if he played in this era of the Dallas Cowboys. He was lucky enough to have his college coach come and like instill discipline and fear and confidence and arrogance and a championship mentality. So he got to be part of a dynasty on the Cowboys. I wonder what he would do if he was playing with guys like Jalen Smith, who celebrated being down 31-13 or 14. Sorry, I don't want to short us that huge point we had last night. But, you know, I wonder what he would do if he had to play his 10 or so years in the NFL with this Jerry Jones, with this Dallas Cowboys organization.
Who knows? You know, Michael Irvin's a player that I could have seen his career going so many different ways. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Like, if he would come in fresh out of college and he wouldn't have the success. You know, I think part of that mentality of believing so much that you know what it takes is that you were fortunate enough to be on a team with a great coach and great supporting cast.
Yeah.
You know, so would he have been so confident in trying to tell the veterans, I have all the answers if it wasn't for the three rings? I don't know. What's your opinion on it? Because you were here for more of it than I was.
He immediately went into Jimmy Johnson's office and said, get rid of – he individually named the players. Like, he was only here for 1 year under Tom Landry. And then as soon as Jerry hired Jimmy, because he was close with Jimmy, he went in and gave him the list of players that you need to release right now.
So if he would come into Jason Garrett's office after his rookie year, he'd say, I'm sorry, I don't have any control of this. You're going to have to go into Jerry's.
I guess so.
You know, the dynamics would be so totally different. Maybe he would be considered a Malcolm after 2 years that the team would have to trade.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great question, though. How different would things go for
Will
Michael
it be
Irvin
on social
would...
media?
You'd have to. What's that?
Go ahead. Sorry.
Were you going to say you wouldn't want Michael Irvin around with social media?
Yeah. Just, you know, to Michael Irvin, I know without social media, he was a thing. So imagine him with social media, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Especially at the beginning of it when you're not real sure who can see things. He's like, here we are at the house. All right.
It would just put the pedal to the metal that much more on everything. It was already a full throttle dude.
I do love from the 972, why can't we have Michael Irvin be the interim head coach?
Sure.
How amazing would that be if just for 3 weeks, just for fun.
Like, Sit your ass down.
Yeah, let Michael do it.
It'd be hard to
disguise some of the play calls. It'd be third and one, and he'd be on the sideline going, run it down their damn throat!
What percentage of the players do you think he could still whoop? Because, you know, Jerry Jones says back in the day Michael Irvin was the guy.
I'd say 30 to 40%.
30 to 40,
I'd say everybody's smaller than him and a few that are his size.
Yeah, for sure. I'd agree with that.
Everybody on defense. I know they couldn't bring him to the ground.
Maybe not Tank. Hey, there's a handful of guys that are really, I think, you know, should be saluted. Despite the overall team, I'd say Tank and, you know, Michael Gallup and a couple other guys.
They have good players.
Yeah, there's some of them.
Performance that defense put together yesterday was embarrassing.
Okay, let's see what kind of challengers we got here, Lucius. What's going on back there?
Let's see. John in Fort Worth called yesterday. What's up, John?
Here's John in Fort Worth.
Hey, John.
Where are you headed?
Hey, guys.
You're on.
You get to talk on the radio now.
John?
Do you like Mike Randy?
I want Jason Garrett to tell us two coaching functions that he does during a game. And clapping and moving his microphone to spit don't count. And the most ridiculous thing is holding up one finger after we score a touchdown, but my 7-year-old grandson knows we're going to kick an extra point.
Well, now, when
John,
going
you're one of my favorite callers. Do you like how I do radio, John?
Do you like how I do radio?
Shut up. Bassick is one of the only guys up there that speaks the truth in love.
Stop gassing him, bro. Oh, stop putting that battery on his back. Don't gas this man like
Mike's
that.
Mike's running around saying Washington's the best team in the NFC East, and he's the one telling the truth, huh? That's what we got out here?
Yes.
Jason Garrett can't talk. He can't diagram a play.
Right. Jason Garrett can't break down a football play.
Have I not said this whole week he's not educated enough to do this?
Oh, my God.
That was great stuff from caller John and the panel yesterday during the Nation. We took calls then. We'll take some more calls a little bit later on here. See what you guys are thinking today.
That's going to be almost impossible to beat.
Oh, shut up, Mike.
Any other challengers, Lucius?
Yeah, Jerry wants Corey to put some respect on his name.
Oh, what? You know the Tolos and the Cowboys fans want answers today. What answer do you have for how this team is playing right now?
We're not playing very well.
Are you embarrassed? Are you embarrassed as an organization about how the team is playing?
Get your damn act together yourself, okay? Now, we're going to have a good visit this morning, but settle down just a little bit.
Settle down.
I mean, as a Cowboys fan, Jerry, we're joined now by Jerry Jones, brought to you by Ford. What? Ford is the best in Texas. Jerry, how you doing this morning?
I'm bringing it back. I had to bring it back.
I think he used a couple of vulgarities. Not directed at Corey, but they got dumped. He was just kind of casually saying, I think it was BS. And our phone system, I swear, if you say BS twice in the same call, it automatically dumps you. It's so smart because it doesn't want us to have to wear out our physical dump. And then it's like, okay, now we're going to have to.
Jerry broke the system.
Yeah, he broke the system. So he got hung up. He essentially got himself hung up on by the computer.
Yeah, there's a little bit more. A little bit more. Okay. You want to hear it?
All right. Yeah.
Good.
I mean, as a Cowboys fan,
we've
Jerry.
Got a lot to go over. Not going with your question, but I'm going to give you the answers I want to give you this morning. And I don't like your attitude, dude. Come in. I've been traveling all night, and I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
I understand that, Jerry. I'm just saying, like, emotionally.
Let's get with it, and let's ask some questions.
All right.
Right kind of question.
Man, you know what? I thought my tone with Jerry has been way worse over the years. There was something about just, I think, the morning and the loss that
and
Jerry.
The issue getting on, I believe.
Yeah, and yeah,
I believe that is what got him. Well, that's where he was saying, like, I don't got time to jack around with you, like,
because
the phone was messing up and couldn't get him on.
Two things. Very lucky that we're not on middays anymore, because I would have not taken it the way that Corey taken it. And congratulations to Corey, because Corey's still employed. Because I think I would have got. I think I might have got fired.
Lies.
And I would have been like, fine. You know what? You can kiss my rear end, Jerry.
I don't know. I've seen you lock up when Jerry calls you, Mike. I've seen you lock up.
But if he's never. I would say the way that he attacked Corey, he never attacked me like that.
Oh,
maybe I'm wrong.
He did crossface him a little bit, I thought. Yeah, he came after
him. Oh, the chicken wing.
Maybe he'll come after you today in the five.
Maybe I would cower down.
Yeah. It's like you're pumping your chest out right now.
He's a rich bully today, and he's just showing how he can do that.
Ooh, all right. Maybe a few more hours of this, and Jerry on his drive home this evening will be calling into the Cowboys once again. We could have a showdown.
Hey, can I do one more?
Yeah.
What's the kicker's last name? How do you pronounce it? Because every time I see it, I think of Bill Maher.
I think it's spelled S-H-I something. His first name's Horse. I know his first name's Horse.
That's a good one, dude. That might be a Baskey all-timer. We got a hot mic situation here at Fat Daddy's in Mansfield. Where are we going, Lucius?
Yeah, they asked him about his kicking performance. This dude right here is amazing. Listen to this.
If you just play for me.
I felt like I did a good job staying in my lane this week. I felt like I hit every ball pretty well tonight, and I'll put my head on the pillow tonight feeling good about what I did this week and moving forward.
How would you describe where your confidence level is right now?
Feel good.
Okay. He's the only kicker I've ever seen that has a consistent slice worse than my golf shot. I mean, what's he doing? He's coming across his body and hitting the inside of it, because every time it's like, it looks good. Nope, it's gone.
Swing pass.
Once again, I would have got fired, because I might have been like, you ever tried missing to see if you'll make from that 40 to 49 range? Like, man, what if I try to miss? Would that make it go in?
You know what I do in golf is I aim for the left out of bounds.
Yeah.
It goes right into the middle.
Mike watched
that?
Me do that. I aim for the left out of bounds, and it goes to the right of bounds.
I was watching him line up go, man, Jeff, you're gonna smoke that tree if this goes correctly.
Is it our champ? Is it Brett Maher? Is it Caller John? Is it Jerry wants Corey to put some respect
put
on his
some
name?
Tough one, but I'm going to go with John.
Okay.
You are not speaking from your heart right now. I'm going with Jerry. He got out of pocket a little bit. I like that.
I'm going with Caller John.
By a score of 2-1, I'm voting for Brett Maher and your new G-Bag of the Day champion. It's Caller John on the G-Bag Nation. We're coming back from Fat Daddy's in Mansfield with something Mike wants to talk about.
Let's go around the NFL and let's see if Jeff will bet on any more losers.
Dallas Truck World just got in a G-Wagon, a Range Rover, and a Porsche 911. Check out that whole inventory at DallasTruckWorld.com.
Thank you very much, Lucius, and live at Fat Daddy's in Mansfield. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time for Mike's segment.
You know, we haven't done this in a while. We look around the NFL and pick games against each other, because we had Black Friday last week.
And like to opt out.
So, Jeff, I know you like betting on teams that have quit 3 weeks ago and believing that they're going to actually try hard. So what team do you feel, being down $320 now, which it wasn't much just a few weeks ago,
I know,
but you've lost $260 in the last 12 days because you've believed in the Cowboys against the Patriots, you believed in the Cowboys against the Bills and Bears, and then you believed yesterday that the Cowboys would cover the three-point spread for $60, and you lost that one,
too. Yeah, thanks, Mike.
Appreciate All right, man, you. I wish the Cowboys were playing on Sunday, because it's free money for me.
I don't want to bet anymore. How is there? Can
nope.
I?
Troll level 10.
I can't opt out of the segment.
Pick a
Hot
game.
Mike.
Pick a game.
Okay.
Whoever you think has a bad quarterback, but ours is better, and so we're going to win that one.
I'm going to take the Sunday night game. It's a pick 'em. I'll take Seattle on the road against the Rams.
Okay. Seattle, pick 'em. That's actually a pretty good one for you.
Thanks,
Mike. You'll probably win that
one. I'll lose that one, I promise.
Gavin, when you look around the NFL on Sunday/Monday, what game is just an easy bet? You're down $100, by the way.
What in the world? Is that why this segment exists? This whole time, you've been using a picker, haven't you?
No, I haven't.
You have somebody who does
100%
this for you.
I haven't.
You have. You've got a sharp out there.
You were down $80, and then you went hard on the Cowboys.
Yeah, you know what that's called?
I saw the quitters.
That was
a setup. I saw them quitting, and you wouldn't believe that they had quit.
You got one of those commercial guys who hits 97% of the picks.
I have not.
Well, I got news for you. I don't have a guy, but it's clear Vegas made a mistake once again in Monday Night Football.
Oh.
You don't have to wait for the commercials Monday afternoon to hear all about it. I'm going to tell you right now.
Okay.
The Giants plus 9.5 at Philadelphia. Holy crap. Yes, please.
What kind of odds can I get money line? Because I'll take the Giants to win the game.
Probably 4-1.
I'll take it.
I was actually
going to
go with you, too, because the Eagles are quitters, too.
Yeah, they are.
The Cowboys get to be in a division where it's just a bunch of quitters or teams that are rebuilding. And so I don't think the Eagles are going to try their hardest. As crazy as that sounds, I just don't think they're motivated to really try hard. They're like, look, we're not good. We want to go home. The Cowboys don't want to play in a playoff game either.
I think the
whoever
Giants
wins
are gonna
that
beat the Eagles.
Eagles game in 2 weeks, they're going to be like, crap, we won. We have to play another week of football.
We can still get to 6-10, get a top 15 pick. We can get there. It's doable.
Ooh.
We need Mike's Washington
6-10 is a top 10 pick. Not if you make the playoffs.
We're going to try not to make the playoffs. We'll see if Washington.
There's so many 6-10 teams that might be pick 14.
It might be.
Okay. Better than pick 21.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so this isn't going to be easy for me, but after we lose a game, we say, they're not that bad. Or after we beat the Lions, we're like, hey, maybe they can move the ball. And then the next week they lose by 4,000 points. So the Buffalo Bills, maybe we're right. Maybe they aren't that good. So I'm going to pick the Baltimore Ravens on the road, -6 against Jeff. Jeff, you can have the Bills because you think that they're bad because of their quarterback.
I don't mind them at +6. I looked at that game and I didn't like the spread.
Home doggy dog. Nearly a touchdown.
9-3 home dog. Look at Mike making big mistakes.
I probably am making big mistakes.
Cocky.
I'm going to make another big mistake with Gavin. This is
what else is new?
One of the best games of the week. I'm going to take the 49ers +2.5 against the Saints. The 49ers, to me, have looked better throughout the season than the Saints. They both have the same record. So I will take the team that is getting the points. You get New Orleans, Gavin, -2.5 at home against the 49ers.
You know, I haven't been able to make up my mind about how I feel about this game. I was looking at it as maybe one that I wanted to wager. I feel like San Francisco is probably the better team, but they might not even end up winning their own division. What a great game, though.
I have one more I'd like to throw at you, Mike,
okay,
if you'd like it.
I have one, too. I'm hoping it's not the same.
I'll take the Chiefs +3 against the Patriots.
Dang it!
All right, I'll take the Patriots -3 against the Chiefs.
Yes.
You know, I don't
care
which side of
them. The last team to beat the Patriots at home was the Chiefs. I think the Chiefs are going to do it again, so I will let you have.
I have to lay 3 points.
New England at home.
How do I do that? I said I want the Chiefs, and then I said, okay, fine, I'll take the Patriots.
I mean, we aren't very good at this, honestly.
Well, you're great. You're up $400.
Here is my next question. Unless we have another game we want to bet, I wanted to go to a subject on the Cowboys.
I want to bet them all because I need the money.
Are you sure? Or do you want to just talk about the Cowboys?
Let's just talk about the Cowboys.
Okay. If the Cowboys are 6-7, they're in first place. No matter what happens on Monday Night Football, they're still in first place. But what if this were the case? Jeff, you bring this up. I was talking to Choppy about this morning. Well, the Patriots are lucky because they get to be in the NFC East, so they get to rack up almost 6 wins every year easily.
Right.
We went 1-3 against that division.
Yeah.
Now, one of them is against the Patriots. The Patriots don't have to play the Patriots. We just went against the NFC North. We went 1-3 against the NFC North. We did beat the Detroit Lions, and if they would have had Matthew Stafford, I think we would have gone 0-4 against that team. Would we be one of the 5 worst teams in the NFL if we didn't get to play the NFC East schedule? Would we be 4-12 this year? I know that's not done, but I think that this is a legitimate question. We're only 6-7 because of our division.
I think it's possible, but I also think it's possible whatever division they were in, they would play well inside that division. I think that's this team and that's this coaching staff. The teams that they're familiar with, they can play pretty well. The teams that they're not familiar with, they're going to get out-prepared by everybody that they're not familiar with. It's my theory.
And I also have a theory that maybe if they'd had really hard games to start the season, it would have got their attention. Like, I think they came into camp really feeling themselves and nothing really changed, and those first three games might have just cemented that attitude.
Okay, I just was thinking about this last night after just getting blown out again and thinking, if we played in the NFC – let's just say you take out Detroit. I know I'm taking out the worst team.
Yeah, put them in the North. They probably go 0-6 there.
But they probably, and they would be a 4-12 team. I think that this team, as they're 6-7, and I know they started off 3-0, and we talk about their talent and talk about this and that. I think this is a 5-11 team if they're not in this division. I'll give them 5. I think that this is probably one of the 10 worst teams in the NFL if somehow they didn't get to play the Eagles.
And now they make roster building mistakes, which is something you could count on them to be pretty good at. But I think that Zeke contract and that Jalen contract, those are going to end up not looking real good on your
books. You got to get the stars of the TV show on camera, Jeff.
I know.
You can't ruin an opportunity to get an Ohio State guy or a Notre Dame guy on your team long term.
I know.
Boy, Gavin, we were talking about this off the air. Now I'm going to bring it up on the air in Mike's segment. Is Jalen Smith the worst contract in your time here in DFW history? In the history of DFW, I bring up Chandler Parsons. Do you think Chandler Parsons?
Oh, way worse than Chandler Parsons.
Parsons was worse.
No.
Parsons was worse.
Parsons was an above-average basketball player.
Parsons wasn't able to go on the field.
Get hurt at the end. There was injuries at the end. But if you take healthy Chandler Parsons.
What about Prince Fielder?
This was essentially – Prince Fielder's pretty good.
That was a trade, but I –
yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
it does qualify because you took on a lot of money there.
When you talk bang for your buck, this is down in the Lamar Odom spectrum. A player would have to smoke crack and then show up at the game to be worse than what Jalen Smith did yesterday.
Oh.
I was going to bring up with the Rangers, since we are in free agency there, I think most people would consider Chan Ho Park the worst free agent signing in Rangers history, because I know a lot of people hated Alex Rodriguez. He won the MVP. He was the best player in baseball for the 3 years he was here, just on a bad team. But Chan Ho Park is usually brought up by the Rangers. So would you say Chan Ho Park is a worse signing to the Texas Rangers than Jalen to the Dallas Cowboys?
No, Chan Ho Park was actually good at his job for a while, you know? I guess before the opposition was really studying what Jalen Smith was bringing to the table, he played well, right? I think about a season and a half. So I guess I shouldn't be that tough. I'm just looking at where Jalen Smith has traveled to this point.
This is really tough because my last point, and I know we got to get to maybe Stephen Jones, is that if you wouldn't assign Jalen Smith to that contract, and I know Jalen Smith aggressively pursued a contract and the Cowboys were interested in doing a somewhat team-friendly contract, except it's not team-friendly at all anymore.
It's not team-friendly at all.
Is that if you wouldn't assign Jalen Smith, this was his last year on his contract, correct? Because this is his fourth year in the NFL.
I think he would have been a restricted free agent. You still would have. You
would have let him go.
You could have.
After this season, you would have let Jalen Smith go and just said, look, it just didn't work out here. You gave us some moments, but your leg isn't right, and you're just not good enough to pay. Now, if you want to come back on a three-year, $9 to $10 million contract with 1.5 years guaranteed, they probably would have done that. But we're locked in for a long time to a dude who is a below-average NFL player.
We're going to get locked in with Stephen Jones, Cowboys COO, coming up next right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.